Well, may I add my welcome to that of Billy. It's good to see you all, and it's good to see folks from this church and also from wider afield. Thank you for coming along, and thank you for your interest and your support and your prayer for the work of the mission. It's been an encouraging 12 months, a lot going on, and I'll share a bit about that in a moment. Some of the projects that we are getting involved in, really just for your prayers and for your information. I want to just begin by sharing some thoughts from God's word, and then it'll be over to Thomas and he can have the majority of the evening to share about his ministry and Poland. But I wonder if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and just reading from verse 3 down to verse 11. That section in the Bible which is entitled in this Bible, Thankfulness and Prayer. So from verse 3 to verse 11 of Philippians chapter 1, let's hear God's word. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defence and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul was in prison when he was writing this letter, possibly in Rome, and possibly during the time of Emperor Nero. And whilst he's there in prison, he receives a visitor carrying a substantial gift from the church at Philippi. But it's not so much the gift that makes Paul joyful, it's actually the people who sent it. And it causes Paul to write this joyful letter to the church there in Philippi, and to pen this prayer of thanksgiving that we have read before us. What was it though about the church in Philippi that brought such great joy and encouragement to Paul? Well, I want to suggest at least three things that we see from this passage that we read. And hopefully they will give us some insight into how we can be encouragers of God's servants, whether they're here working in this land or whether they're overseas. Three things. The first thing I want you to see is that they were faithful partners in the gospel, verses 3 to 6. Paul begins by thanking God for their faithful partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Perhaps Paul's thoughts went back to that meeting by the riverside in Philippi, where Lydia and those other ladies met for prayer. And Lydia's heart, we're told, was opened. And she also opened her home. And that home became the place where the church met. And from that time onwards, that church had been faithful partners, faithful supporters of Paul in his missionary endeavours. And that faithful support was evidence to the apostle of God's continuing grace in their lives. As he says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't need to remind you that God's servants still need faithful gospel partners today. People who take a genuine interest in their work. People who pray for them regularly. People who give financially as their means allow. People who stand by them even through the difficult times. Faithful gospel partners bring encouragement and joy to God's servants. And that's the first challenge, I guess, that comes to us from this passage. Are we faithful partners of someone who's labouring for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in this country or overseas? Is there someone who could say of you, who could say of me, that person is a faithful partner, somebody who stood by me, who prayed for me, who supports me? They were faithful partners in the gospel, first of all. The second thing I want you to see is that they were fellow partakers of grace in verses 7 to 8. We see in these verses Paul's affection for the church in Philippi. It comes across very clearly, doesn't it? He holds them in his heart, we're told in verse 7. He yearns for them with the affection of Christ Jesus in verse 8. You know, these were not platitudes. They were genuine expressions of his love for the church. And they were, as he says, partakers with me of grace. What is it that Paul means by that phrase? Well, of course, they shared in the same saving grace as the Apostle Paul's confidence of that, as we read in verse 6. But he specifies two things in particular in verse 7. In his chains, in his imprisonment, but also in his defence and confirmation of the gospel. They shared with him in grace in those two particular things. Let's think first of all of his imprisonment, his chains. Remember, Paul was probably writing from Rome at the time of Emperor Nero, who was no friend of Christians. He was being held at the pleasure of Nero. But Philippi was a Roman colony. It was a privileged place. And its citizens were expected to be loyal to Rome and the emperor in return for their privileged position. Well, it was no small matter then for this church at Philippi to be seen to be standing by Paul, who was being accused of being an enemy of the state. So they stood with him in his imprisonment. But also, they were partakers of grace because, like Paul, they knew what it was to suffer for the faith, for the defence and confirmation of the gospel. They'd experienced severe punishment, opposition, from the time of Paul's visit to them. We read in verses 29 and 30 something of that. They were involved and they had suffered in the same conflict as the apostle. And they'd experienced that same grace, sustaining grace from God. That special grace that God gives to those who suffer for him, who were persecuted on his behalf. And it's an encouragement today for God's servants to know that those who are, that they're not alone in the conflict. That there are those who are standing by their side in defending and confirming the gospel. And here's the second challenge for us this evening from this passage. Is that, are we engaged in the same conflict, in the same battle? Do we know what it means to suffer for the proclamation of the gospel, for defending the truth? Are we fellow partakers of grace in that sense? And the final thing, encouragement that we have here, we see is that they were fruitful people to God's glory. They were fruitful people to God's glory. Because we come in verses 9 to 11 to the heart of Paul's prayer for the church. And we can read it again. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and may be sincere and without offence until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The three areas that Paul prays for these Christians. First one is in their knowledge of God. The second thing is in their discernment in verse 9, or wisdom. They would be discerning and wise. And then later on he talks that they would be without offence, and they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. We could, I suppose, say that they would be holy. And how today we need Christians who are growing in those three areas, in their knowledge of God and of his word, in wisdom and discernment, and in holiness of life. How we need believers who would grow in those ways. And can I suggest to you that that is the greatest encouragement of all to God's servants? To know that they're growing in the faith. To know that the gospel is bearing fruit in their lives. It brings greatest encouragement of all, I would suggest to you, to God's servants. But more importantly, it brings glory and praise to God, as the apostle says in verse 11. And there's the final challenge to us from this passage. Is the gospel bearing fruit in our lives? Are we growing in knowledge of God, in wisdom, in holiness of life? Well, may the Lord help us to do those things as we seek to encourage others who are labouring for the Lord in these days.